Today is the third week of Advent, and as you've already noticed, we are singing about joy. And today, the Florida kid, Bill, will come down here and light our candle.
The pink.
Bill Hopkins, this is a special day for you also, is it not?
Ha-ha.
Today's your birthday.
And Glenn's here.
And Glenn's here too, yes.
From Florida.
Yes, it is. A Florida kid.
Just to give me $2.
Then he came up here and gave you $2. What a blessing that is.
An IOU,
okay. But the joy of the Lord is ours. And Bill will share with us a few scriptures here. Can you turn the light on back here, Meg, as you're coming through?
It's called Advent 3. It says joy. The third candle of Advent is the candle of joy. It reminds me of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that a special child would be born to her.
Amen.
A child who would save and deliver his people. God wants us to all have joy. The angel who announced to the shepherds that Jesus had been born to them did not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. We light this candle to remember that Christ brings the promise of a new life, a life in which the blind receive sight,
amen,
the lame walk, and the prisoners are set free. We light it to remember that He is the bringer of true and everlasting joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. He is our joy. Thank you.
If you want to watch the screen, we have a song that goes with joy.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, wonders of His love, and of His love, and wonders of His love. Amen.
But we're looking at the joy of the Lord today. And as Brother Bill was reading, he says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy for all people.
Amen.
For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord. And that is the number one thing that we need to concentrate on, church. Amen?
Amen.
That is the joy that the Savior has come into our life. He came into the world. And if you have the Savior in your life, you have that joy, but sometimes we overlook the joy. Sometimes we allow the things of this world to bury what we received through Christ. We allow that to come up out of our hearts, come back into our minds. That the joy is that our sins have been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
And like we said last week, we're reconciled with the Father in heaven. You know, when we look at the hope and peace and joy, next week we look at love, and they all intertwine together. They all intertwine together and shows how much God really cares for us. So the greatest present we can ever receive is Jesus. Now, how many people know that God loves you? Everybody knows that. Yeah, that's an awesome thing to remember. So if we know that God loves us, He would never do anything or give us anything that would be bad for us. Amen? He would never do that. Some things He might give you or you might have, you're not quite sure what to do with it at the time. But as you concentrate on whatever He gives you, and that's His Word, it will come to life. It will take root into your heart someday. But knowing that He loves you, that whatever He gives you is good for you. And that happened to me about 24 years ago. I've shared this before, but my wife gave me a present one time. Several times, okay, but this particular case. And she was really excited about it. And she gave it to me, all wrapped up pretty nice. Isn't that pretty? But 24 years ago, I received this. And I know in her heart and my son, I mean, we're talking December 25th, 1981, how excited she was to give this present to me. Didn't have much money, but she found this. And she said, man, it's everything I needed is right here. And of course, on Christmas morning, if you're like a lot of us, you either get off work at 7 and you get home, the kids are ready to open the presents up, or you've been up all night putting presents together, okay? You, maybe your buddy Jack. Somebody might have Buddy Bud there with you back in the old days. Not anymore. But you get up and you start passing out presents. Jack Daniels, Budweiser, okay. Well, you never try to put Christmas presents together, you know.
I was lost for a second.
The whole purpose is that you get up in the morning, and passing out presents. And so I got this, I opened it up. But man, what would my wife give me?
A Bible.
I mean, given the Starkey by Carol, December 25th, 1981, with all my love. And I thought, why do I need another Bible in the house? We've got one. I mean, she's a religious fanatic. You know what I'm saying? I thought that, Joe. I thought, you know, why would you give me a Bible? And I took this Bible. I laid it down, this present that my wife gave me, this present that she was so excited to give to her husband. I laid it down for 19 years. 19 years later, that was just the same as it was when she gave it to me. Kept it dust off. In fact, half the time I couldn't find it. But maybe because I never opened it up, doesn't mean that she hasn't already opened it up. For 19 years, she prayed that this contents of this Bible become real to Starkey. And on January 2nd, 2000, and you all remember that, at 6:30 p.m., this gift, this Word of God, came alive inside of me, and I was born again. But from the outside, or you look at it, it's just a book. But you can see now, I mean, I'll try not to lose the page. Look at that. You can see that when I realized what was in here, well, I just started reading and reading and reading and reading, and it is falling apart now. But in this book is true joy. Joy that passes through any situation you're in is in this book. But it only comes relevant to our lives when we open that book up and read it. And it took me 19 years to realize what was in here. I mean, how happy she was to give it to me. I mean, she was. She's thrilled to death. And the only thing I could think of is, what do I need another Bible for? You know, when I grew up, we had one. We had it on the coffee table. Why? I mean, what a waste of money. Isn't that sad? Didn't understand the love that went behind this. You know, and today we celebrate the one who gave us this. We celebrate the gift of life through Jesus Christ. I know some of us might be saying, how can we have joy? How can we have joy in the midst of all our tribulations and turmoils right now? How do we have it? It's through here. by allowing the Word of God to have access to our life. Think of that, guys. You know, what gets me excited here, if you have your Bibles, if not, I'll read it to you. Chapter 15 of Luke, verse 1. Because God wants you to be joyful, amen? You know, He wants you to be so excited over this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. He wants you to be, joyful. He doesn't want you to just take it like I did and set it down for 19 years. We need any duct tape. I'm going to need some here before long. But the joy is in the Word. And sometimes we can get really down, like Carol was saying earlier, but don't let it happen. Chapter 15 of Luke. Chapter 15. Verse 1. I'm going to read it to you. 1 to 7. So now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near to hear him, to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I say amen to that. And he told them this parable. And Jesus said this: "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and have lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." He's talking about a farmer having 100 sheep. Or it could be, you know, if you don't farm sheep, it could be cattle. Whatever you visualize in your mind. He lost one of them. One of them got away. One of them strayed away. So he left the other 99 to watch over themselves and took off after that one. Why would he do that? Paul, if you had 100 cattle out home, Angus or whatever you want, and they had them fenced in, but somehow one of them, kind of ornery, he made it over the top of the fence somehow, why would you hop in your four-wheeler, start driving around Bird Run area, try and find that one? What's one reason? There's no wrong answer.
Sounds like a cookout to me.
A cookout to you might become? Okay, okay. He's seeing a cookout. All right. That's right. One's just as important as the other 99. Okay. But why would that be?
One is lost.
It once lost. Okay. What'd you say?
I'd say because it's mine. I don't want anybody else taking it.
Well, okay. But I haven't quite got the answer I'm looking for. All these are good. You love them. I love them too. Barbecued. No, I just kidding. No, you love them. So you feel, oh man, they're out there. Okay. Anybody else? Why would you after the one cattle? Okay. But what would cause you to go out there trying to find that one? You got 99 more there? I mean, you got enough hamburger on hoof there. Well, you care about it and you love them. That's fantastic. But you know the real reason why you... Huh? Okay.
It'd be the same thing if one child was lost.
Right, yeah, exactly.
If you had 99, they'd be all safe.
Yeah, right.
But you worry tremendously about the one lost.
Mm. Amen.
If one strays, then they all stray.
Well, one strays, not all stray. I mean, if one of them got out of the gate, the rest of them might find it and follow me, you know, they say, but bad company corrupts good morals, I think it is. Really good answers. But the one motivating factor is because you paid the price for it. That's what gets you out there in the rainstorm. That would get you out there in a rainstorm at 2 o'clock in the morning when you get a call from the sheriff's office, "Hey, your fence is down, your cattle's out." Money will motivate you to get out there. I pay for that thing. I'm raising that thing. I've got vet bills in it. I've got hay in it. I've got all kinds of stuff in it. That's what we get out. Now, if I was sitting there and I got the phone ringing, you got a cat out. Oh, that's okay. It belonged to Paul Garner. He's out of state right now. He won't notice it. But since I paid the price for them, I own them, I'm going after it. I'll leave the other 99 secured. You go out. They didn't say that the farmer didn't secure the gate when the one got out, did it? He said he went after it. So he might walk out. Wow, what got my sheep out? What caused my sheep to come out? Why did you plant daisies on the other side of that fence? That tempted my sheep to lose. So you go over there and you tear down the daisy. You pick up, remove this distraction from them. That way they'll stay where they belong. And you go after the one that's lost. And the reason you go, because you own it. You paid the price for it. And folks, think about yourself today. Why does he rejoice when you came to him? Because he paid the price for you. Think about that. God loves you so much that Jesus paid the price of your sin. Wow. And we think, I come to the Lord, but he came to us. He came out looking for you. Think about the situation you were involved in before you got born again. Think about the things that you were doing. But something kept crossing your mind about the Lord. Something kept thinking, well, I know this ain't right. I know it's not right. That was the Lord trying to bring you back. When God made us in Genesis, man, we were without sin. Ever since then, we've been in sin. And God wants to bring us back. And Christ paid the price for every one of us. Born again or not, he's already paid the price for our salvation. And he's looking out there right now. If he already found you, praise God. Think of that. When you say, nobody likes me. How's that going in school? Nobody likes me. I think we'll go out and eat worms. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat some worms. Big ones, fat ones, skinny ones. That was another one in Fresno. We sang it right before the turkey song, okay? But when you think, well, no one in this world loves me, you never get a greater love than Jesus. Amen. Think of that. But he paid the price. And we just read that earlier. He hung out with sinners, which was us. He came for us. And he left heaven to come down here. And Kenny Weekly, he came down here to restore you. There's a joy in that. That's immeasurable. He did that. You know that? And what he's still doing today, he's trying to see, okay, I got you in the pen now. What's causing my sheep to leave? Yeah. And he's looking at it. Okay, what's causing my sheep to stray? And what he's trying to do is remove that from our lives. He'll say, oh, don't go there. You know, I heard before, and I can't verify this 100%, but it was from a Baptist preacher I had a lot of faith in. But he told me what a shepherd would do when he went out and found a stray sheep, a lamb. He would actually go and pick that lamb up, and he'd break the leg of that lamb and put it on his shoulders. Because out on the other side of that fence, wolves would destroy it. And he had to teach him, you got to follow the shepherd. And he would put the sheep on their lamb on his shoulders and carry it back, set the leg. That way he could not stray out anymore. I know right now you think, oh, what kind of shepherd would that be? What kind of shepherd would break a leg of a lamb to keep it from getting devoured by a wolf? I say a shepherd who loves his lamb so much. Kind of reminds me back in the day when Dad would say, hey, it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And you realize that later on, how true that was. But he knew they brought him back. Now, that lamb is going to stay with the rest of them now. He's going to have a broken leg. He'll be with them. And as he molds and he grows up and that's healed, he'll recognize how awesome that shepherd is. And the shepherd only has the greatest intentions for that lamb. To keep him in. So we understand that's the love of God that he has in our life. That he loves us that much. So sometimes we think, why am I going through this? I can't answer everything, but I just know that we trust in the Lord that He'll use whatever we're in for good. You know that, guys? Pretty hard sometimes to think about that. It's better to have a broken leg than being devoured. Not saying that God puts sickness and disease on you. Don't ever think that. Okay? But opportunities you might have had, things you want to get done, places you want to go. Maybe you're all dressed and ready to go somewhere, and something happens, your ride didn't come through, your vehicle broke down, you didn't have that gas money. And you think, wow, God loves me, why didn't He provide for me? Well, maybe He was providing for you right then. You got to trust Him. That maybe the best thing you do right then was stay in place. You know? That's joy, knowing that God oversees everything that you do. It's not one thing that we do that He doesn't see. You know, and that's good, because He sees what our needs are. He watches over us. We just got to learn to continue to trust in Him. And remember that He already paid the price for us, and He don't want to lose you. He's going to follow you. You know, I'm just going to walk away from the Lord. You can't walk away from Him. You understand that? You cannot. Now, you can quit listening to Him. You know that? You can quit reading His Word. But He will never, ever, ever leave you. He won't. Because He wants you to turn around and grab a hold of Him again. He will never leave you, never forsake you. Don't matter how mad you get at Him. Don't matter how fed up with this Christian life. He's still with you. He is. Because His desire is that when you get fed up enough, you turn back to Him. Oh, no, when we're fed up with Him, we just denounce Him. We don't want nothing to do with Him. We kind of tie His hands. Okay? Like I said earlier from the beginning, you know, sin separates us from God. And through Christ Jesus, we repent from our sins and we have that communication with Him. But when we decide, well, I'm done with it. I'm going back to my old lifestyle. He is still with you. But we tie His hands from doing anything until we repent from our sins. But folks, He's always there beside you. 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, I've had enough. God forgive me. Boom. Isn't that awesome? He's ready to restore you right then. Amen. And you have to start over again. You don't have to get baptized again. You don't have to go through this, do you, Mama? No, you just right then. Boom. He restores us. Yes. Yes. Just pick up right where you're at and continue to follow Him. Luke chapter 15, verse 8. And this is probably the verse or the couple of verses there that Kenny always thinks about me on, probably. It's called the lost coin. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Kenny? Mr. Tightwad. No. They said, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Amen?
Amen.
Just think, you know, you talk about joy. Look at the party that went on in heaven the day that you got born again. The day, Kathy, that you say, Lord, man, there was a party going on. And that party continues today for every time someone comes to the Lord. And that is joy. And folks, as part of the body of Christ, with Christ living in us, boy, think about those that you've seen get born again. Even yourself. You know, when you're sitting back today and you're thinking about maybe Christmas has passed, and you know, you think, man, you know, we all dream about the old days. I mean, it seemed like years ago we had more snow, we had more sleighs, and we had more peaceful time. But you cannot get more peaceful thought when you think about being born again and the joy of the Lord that came into our life. Reconciled with the Father. Not have to be tormented anymore about the sins of the past and the things that maybe those sins caused in your life. That's all under the blood. reconciled, born again. That's the joy of the Lord. And how awesome he was. I mean, everybody, if I say, hey, you want to make the Lord happy? Yeah, we want to give him joy. You did. You got born again. Now when you reflect on that and think about what God has done for you, man, that should bring a peace into you. That these things right now, Ruth, that we're going through, they're just temporary. They're about as temporary as Facebook. You know, like what you're reading today? Hey, wait till tomorrow, something different. But this time is just temporary compared to what He has in store for us. And I describe a lot of time at Christmas time that the gift that Christ gave us is like a chia pet. Remember the things you pack in this head thing and it grows hair or whatever, you know, like that? It's a gift that you get, but it's a long time before it's completed for you because it takes a while for that green stuff to grow. It's the same with it. We have received the gift of salvation, the gift of reconciliation with the Father. But what's that?
It's a process.
It's a process to understand that. I mean, the joy of the Lord is right now if we allow that to rest in us. But sometimes it's just, okay, slowing down and doing what I did years ago. And start reading the Word like you never have before. You go in the Proverbs and the Psalms and the Gospels. Think, okay, God, you love me. You don't want me to have all this turmoil in my life. Show me. Show me, Lord. Help me. And if we take this Word, this great gift, and not just read it, but then apply it to our lives, that's where the joy of the Lord is, the Word of God. Brings that joy into our life. Not just by reading it, but applying it. To allowing it to be center forward in our life. That's where yes. I know, I got to find a different description next year instead of a chia pet, I guess. But with a chia pet, do you everybody know what I'm talking about when I say chia pet? That's old school. You younger folks might be. It's like a pot with seeds in it. Not pot, but you know, a bucket with seed in it, and you water, and the green stuff grows out through these holes and look like different faces and stuff. I mean, back in the day, they were really, really popular, right beside the pet rock. Okay. They still make it. But with that gift, you had to water it. You know, you put it together, and you had to water it every day and watch it grow. Okay. Same here. With this here, we had to water our spirit with the Word of God and allow it to grow. That way, the Bible says that your joy may be complete. And folks, I know it's. Anybody ever start a diet? Yeah, every Monday. Okay, I'm getting ready here in about 17 days. Start another one. But normally in your mind. When you start a diet, you have a visualization of someone you want to look like, you know? A lot of guys just look like me, you don't know. But in your mind, it's something you want to achieve, you know? Oh, man, I want to look like Arnold or, I don't know, most of my heroes have passed on by now. But there's a Jack Elaine, remember him? I mean, wow. So you have I want to be like that. I can be like that. Oh, wow. So you start, because you have to do what? You got to discipline yourself. And you got to start this diet thing, this workout thing. Second day, you realize something the doctor told me a long time ago. You know what he told me? He said, Starkey, you got to get in shape. And I said, well, doctor, round is a shape. <You know? laughs> That's funny. But you know at times, when we start something and we get in a couple of days, it takes a lot of discipline, we find a way of talking ourselves out that we're okay right where we're at. It's not really that bad, you know? And it's sometimes the same way we have when we reach for this joy of the Lord. I'm going to discipline myself now, you know, January 1st. I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to read the Word of God 30 minutes a day. And boy, the first day you get up there, you start reading it, you're having your morning coffee, whatever you want to. And then the second day, and then maybe by the third day, you think, well, you know what? 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes at night. And pretty soon, you might not even be reading the Word of God on a regular basis. Sometimes, something tragic happens in your life, and it brings you to the Word of God. And I've been there. You know, I got sick years ago. This is before the 10. This is 04. You know, right before I retired. Whoa, wow. And I'm telling you what, I was up 24 hours a day watching TBN and all them channels and stuff, you know, listening to the Word of God, and wow, just pouring it into me and stuff. And I'd only been a Christian about 3 years. Wow. Went to the doctor. Thank you, Lord. Wasn't near as bad as I thought it was. So you know what happened? I started sleeping in a little bit longer in the mornings. I didn't get on the and start listening to the programming that I was listening to, the Christian programming. I wasn't reading there as much. And before long, within 6 months, boom. Not still in the Word of God, still going to church. But I didn't have that zeal anymore because my emergency was gone. Been there, church? Have you ever been there? You know, if we would keep that going every day, the 30 minutes a day would keep that humongous emergency from falling on top of us if we allowed the Word of God into us every day. And I'm talking about a set time or a time that you want to, you know? Like my wife, you know, if I was dating her, I'd call you at 7 o'clock. Well, 7 o'clock, I'm going to call her. She's expecting it. Yes, I call collect sometimes. I understand that. But she knew that. And we had that thing. See, if God sets a time aside and say, okay, I'm going to talk with you today, God, you know, all day long, but I'm going to read the Word at this time. And this is my time with the Lord. And allow that. And you'll have so much more joy in your life. Because as you hear the Word of God, it's just like, it's like reading a love letter over and over again. You ever get a love letter? Nobody? Okay. Well, let's try something different there. You ever get a love email? There we go. Okay. You ever get, you know, we got a couple letters back from the day when we were dating and stuff. And, you know, sometimes you've gone through the memoirs and you start, oh, man, I forgot about that. And it's rekindled things in your heart. It just brings a peace to you and what we call earthly joy. And that's what the Word of God does to us. You know, you might be a Christian for many, many years now, and maybe there's parts of the Bible that you haven't read it lately. Maybe a lot of times you only read what I preach on Sunday, which is awesome that you're reading that, but sometime maybe go a little bit deeper or go to the next page and just let what you read before rekindle in your life. I pick up this Bible here. And this is the Living Bible, the Living Bible, and it was written for new people in the Lord. It reads a lot fluently. It's not a good study Bible. It's because it goes by most Bibles, the translation go word by word if you want to study it. Amen. This one here goes paragraph by paragraph. So it has the right meaning behind it. So you get the idea. It's a lot easier to read. If I want to study, I go to American Standard or even pop out the King James once in a while to go a lot deeper, or the Hebrews and that nature. But I read this now, and what part of the joy is it? Not just the Word. I mean, the Word is joy, but God, my wife gave it to me. My wife and my kids, they wanted me to hear this. And so it just brings a peace to me. I get out the old girl here and start reading and try not to drop it because some of them pages are really loose anymore. But a lost coin. That's what I was speaking about, was I not? Anybody have any money you want to get rid of?
No.
Now, if anybody had any money you have, everybody's hand would go up. I understand that, because you would. You guys are very generous. But, you know, if I'm going to Walmart today, and I've got $10 in my pocket, and I pull out my money, and one of them falls on the ground, I'm going to look for it. I'm going to find it. You know, because it's mine. And when you locate that, wow. If you ever have a bill due, and you had 30 bucks saved back to pay that bill, and you've been there, 40 bucks, okay? And you go into your the thing where you keep money at home, and you open it up, and oh man, there's only 28 bucks. 20 bucks is nice, but you need 30. And next thing you know, you're tearing that house apart. Ever been there? Yeah. I do, yes. Yeah. Huh? What happened to it? What happened to it? And then when you find it, man, you're excited because now you have what you needed to pay the bill. And that quickly, you knew that you had it. For a month, you knew you already had it set aside. But when the time came that you needed it and you went to get it, you were panicked. How quickly your joy was leaving you because you didn't have it. So you tore up the house and you found it, whether it be under the couch or wherever it might be at. You went and looked for it. And that's what God looks at for us. You know? You're not satisfied with just the $28. You want the whole thing. And God is the same way with us. He's never satisfied until every one of us will come home to Him. That's His desire. And we know the rapture is coming. We know a lot of folks won't make it. We know a lot of people won't make it to heaven. It'll break His heart. But He tries everything that He can to get the attention of each one of us. Because we are so important to Him. So important to Him that, well, so important that Jesus came and died on the cross for us. When you ever think somebody doesn't love you, you can't deny what Christ done for you. John 15, verse 1. And that's what he wants you to understand that what true joy is. Okay, as you turn into John 15, verse 1. He wants you to understand the joy. When he says he offers you a joy, it's something that the world cannot take away from us because it's centered in him. Now, we have joy, which really is happiness here on earth that comes and goes real quick. You know, I mean, this afternoon, maybe some of us might be rejoicing for a moment when the Cleveland Browns score a touchdown. Yeah, right, okay. But how quickly that happiness will leave when the other team gets the ball back. You know what I'm saying? That's just being happy for me. That's not joy. That is just happy. Hey, the team did well. When you have joy, the joy is with you always. It is always with you. And you say, well, I didn't feel too joyful the other day. Well, you got to allow the joy to surface again. You know, when you get in these situations that you think, oh man, things are just falling apart completely. Man, go back to the Word of God. Let the Word of God turn this situation into, oh, I still got the joy in the Lord. I know this thing, Vicky, is just temporary. I know I don't like it right now. My heart's breaking right now. But I have the joy of the Lord in my life that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that I can do something about this. I can pray. I can seek the Lord for this person's situation or even your own situation. That is a joy that we are not left alone. You know, it's a gift that keeps on giving as long as we allow it to give to us. And it gives us that peace and that joy. But in chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So right away, as you stay attached to the Lord, you know that he's going to continue to work with you. He's going to prune you. Otherwise, he's going to let you grow more and more and more to be stronger with him. He's going to take things out of your life at times that's going to hurt you, but it's the best thing for you that he removes it from your life. And then he's going to put some things in your life that, I don't want that, but it's the best thing you have in your life. Okay? Again, trusting in him, because he has one thing for you, that he wants his joy to be overflowing in your life. But we have to trust him. It's like my wife when she gave me that present, okay? If I would have thought for a moment how much my wife loved me and cared for me and all this, I could have rejoiced over that present. But no, I didn't concentrate on that. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I want a pair of Jordan's baseball shoes and I got a Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Now you tell me.
Yeah, I know. You're already clean because of the words which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, Jesus says, and I'm in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So as you continue to allow the Lord to pour himself into your life, as you continue to pray and read his word, you know that he's not going to cut you off, that you're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. You're going to produce fruit. And in this situation that you're in today, whether it's a bad situation or it's a situation somebody else is in, you know that, man, you can continue to do something about that through the Lord. That there is hope. Now, if you cut yourself off, boom, you're going to wither up and die. There is no more hope. That hope is going to die because You no longer let the Lord bump into you. You know, you've seen trees out there, some of them are 8 feet tall. Some of them are 30 or 40 feet tall. And out in California, is it redwood tree? Is that the one that you drive a car through, Tom? You remember that, Paul? You know why you could do that? Because it stayed rooted. And it kept having minerals and water coming up through its roots and kept growing, 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 growing. If they cut it down when it's 8 feet tall, it could never done what they do with it now. Same way in your life today, if you cut yourself off from the Word of God, if you cut yourself off from the fellowship, this joy that God has for us won't develop in our life. It'll be stagnant. And He doesn't want that. You know, the best way to find more joy is be in the Word of God and be in fellowship. You know, what's more joyful than staring at my face every Sunday? I didn't get too many amens back here, right, Mom, in there? Okay. He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He abides in me, and I in him. He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So remember that. Apart from him, can't do a thing. Okay, we might try it on our own. I'm going to do it my own way this time, Carol White. Yep. And God's back here. Okay, go ahead, Starkey. I'll be waiting here when you want to come back to me. You know? And you try it a different way. You know, sometimes the days, the way the world is, you get so frustrated. I'll just take things in my own hands. Maybe I'm the one that says that too. I repent every time. But boy, it's just tough. And Lord, okay, Starkey, go ahead, try it your own way, then come back to me. Okay, Starkey, you done running your mouth? Let's pray about it. Oh, well, Lord, okay. And as you pray, man, you allow the Lord to work on our behalf. And you can outdo the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So you think about that. Okay? He who doesn't abide in me. But folks, as we abide in him, you know, even though you might be going through the trial, he's going to stick with you. But so you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. So we stay, or abide in him. We know if we go to him, he'll hear our petitions. Isn't it awesome to know that God will hear and he'll do as we abide in him? Because you say, well, how can that be? Because as he pours into you, what your request is based upon his word. And so you'd be asking for the things that you know that the Lord wants you to have. And he's just waiting. This is like my wife. You know, if I would have told her I wanted Jordans back in 1981, I would have got a pair of Jordans. But I said, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I don't care. Well, I opened myself wide open for that one, you know. She said, well, you don't care. Then I do. And she gave me what I wanted. Now, what I needed, amen. Now, if I was a Christian at that time, I said, well, well, Carol, I can really use my own Bible. You know, we got one in the house, but you know, I like to read late at night. Well, you would have got me this Bible because of that reason, okay? Because as the Word of God would pour into me, He would have me ask for things that would line up with His Word. But since I didn't have the Lord in my life, I don't care. Yeah, if I take that one back. No, I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you did. And verse 8 says, but this is my Father's glory. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father had loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love, he says. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. And verse 11 says this, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So how do we stay in the fullness of the joy of the Lord? By staying in His Word and allowing it to be part of our life. Wow. And folks, as we tarry in these days that we've been blessed to live in, it takes a lot more of the Word coming into us to stabilize that joy of the Lord. I believe we got to be reminded more and more and be encouraged by that more and more. So maybe maybe you were disciplined at one time and you're reading, you know, the Bible maybe 10 minutes a day, which is fantastic. But boy, you're just starting to feel grumpy all the time. Well, it's time to go to 15 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes. Allowing more of that Word to be established in your life, because these times are very trying right now. You know, we see more and more people getting short-tempered. We get mad at one another quicker. We get upset. Things bother us. And we need that peace of the Lord to come up, raise up in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Hebrew chapter 12. In chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2 in Hebrews. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, or right hand of the throne of God. Wow. He endured the shame and the suffering that his joy would be complete. And what is his joy? Amen. Us. Every one of you. Every one of us. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he endured all that. To have that joy. Yeah, you know, you can categorize different things in your life, different events, the important things. I mean, every one of them might have a different list right now if I actually prioritize the things that you're looking at in your life, the most important things in your life. And a lot of us might be a short-term things. You look at, well, you know, I got rent coming in January, or I need a car, or I need tires, or whatever it might be. But we think for a second. Wow. Everything that I ever need, I find in Christ. You need healing? We find that in Christ. You need a counselor? We find that in Jesus. We need peace? We find that in the Lord. You need wisdom? You find that in the Lord, do you not?
I found a lot of my stuff.
You need a friend? You find that in the Lord. You need someone to fight your battles for you? We find that in the Lord. Everything that we need is in Christ Jesus. Everything. I mean, can you imagine if Carol brought me a box today, a big present? And everything I ever said I wanted was in that thing. Well, not everything. I don't think she fit in there, but the rest of it, you know what I'm saying? I met my girlfriend that we always kid about. That was a joke. I always kid her about Harrison Ford. But here's a box of anything I ever wanted right there in it. Wow. Didn't go anywhere else. It's right there. Can you imagine how awesome that would be? And we take a moment to look at Jesus Christ. Everything that we ever needed is right there. I ask this year to look closer at the Lord. Look at what He has done, not just for us, but what He's given us. And allow that joy to raise up in you. You know, maybe there's something in that box that, or in this present that God gave us through the Son Jesus. Maybe there's something there you don't quite understand yet. Well, look at it closer. You know, it took me 19 years to look closer at this present. And man, look what it's given me ever since then. Wow. Awesome. For 15 years now, this has been the center of my life. 15 years. This present's about 34 years old. Wow, 34 years old. And it's not going anywhere soon. It's the same way for the Lord. He's not going anywhere soon. He's staying with you. He's here to help you. He's here to comfort you. He'll give you that understanding. He'll give you that peace that I just spoke about. And that joy. But remember, it's like that chia pet. You got to water it to allow it to grow. And as you read the Word of God, it's watering that gift He's given you. And the joy of the Lord will grow greater in you. Amen. Amen.